Hey, thank you, thank you. You guys are gonna make me cry, and this is Easter. No. Sit down. For those of you that don't know, I've been away for a few weeks, so some people are happy to see me back. Man, I do want to wish everybody a happy Easter. I'm so glad for those of you that are in person. Such an exciting time. I want to welcome all of those of you that are online as well. You know, we have people viewing from all over the United States every week, some from all over the world. It's such a blessing to be able to reach out and bless people in that way. If you don't know who I am, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. And, you know, we're celebrating Easter, but we're also celebrating something else that you probably don't know about. It's my daughter Zoe's 18th birthday today. It's today. And so I want to ask you to do me a favor. On the count of three, I want everybody to yell really loudly, "Happy birthday, Zoe," okay? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Zoe.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much. Well, obviously, we're celebrating Easter, and Easter's really a story about life and death. And I want to begin on the death side. You know, one of the interesting things about us as Americans is that we don't really like to talk about or think about death very much, but we spend a whole lot of money when death happens. You know, there's a recent study done and found that in the decade coming up of 2030 to 2040, that 10-year period, 18.1% of all living Americans will die sometime during that decade. And because baby boomers, you know, those born between 1946 and 1964, want to sort of go out in style, one of the growing trends these days is something called designer caskets. You may have heard of these. You can, for example, they cost somewhere, by the way, between $20,000 and $40,000. For example, you could get a gold casket or a gold-plated casket. There are caskets that you can buy now that have the logo of your favorite team on them. Did you know that you can even buy caskets at Costco and at Walmart? This is true. Go online. You can buy Costco caskets. You know, for example, at Costco, you can get the Lord's Prayer casket. You can get the Primrose casket. You can get the Mother casket. Probably not long before we can buy the mother-in-law casket. Might cost you a lot to get it, but you'd be able to buy it. You know, there's never been a culture in the history of the world that has spent more money on death, but less time and attention to what comes after death. But you need to know, that has not always been true of us as Americans. You know, for many generations, when parents would tuck their children into bed, they would have them say a little prayer. Maybe you said this prayer. It goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's kind of a cheery way to send kids to bed, right? Did you know there's actually a second verse to this? There is. It goes like this. Our days begin with trouble here. Our life is but a span. And cruel death is always near. So frail a thing is man. Night, night, honey. Sweet dreams. People used to actually teach their kids to pray that prayer. But see, the reason they did that is because people wanted their children to know that death is real, but death is not the end. Let me say it again. Death is real, but death is not the end. And I want to look at this for a few minutes by walking you through a story in the Bible. And this is a story about life and death and life again. It's a story about Jesus and his dear friend Lazarus. Now, Lazarus lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And their house was in a town called Bethany. And Bethany is kind of a suburb of Jerusalem. And so whenever Jesus went to Jerusalem, he would usually stay with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, at the time of this story in John 11, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus have not seen Jesus for a while because the last time Jesus was there, some religious leaders had tried to kill him. Well, one day, Lazarus gets very, very sick. In fact, he's so sick that his sisters, Mary and Martha, are desperate. They only have one hope. And look what happens, verse 3. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." Now they know that Jesus can heal. They've seen him do it many, many times. He's healed people who are complete strangers. And Lazarus is such a good friend of Jesus's that the sisters don't even have to mention his name. They just say, "Your dear friend is very sick." So surely Jesus will heal Lazarus, right? He's Jesus's dear friend. But Jesus does a very strange thing. Look at verse 5. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Now, generally, if there's someone you love, and if something goes wrong and they say they need you, what do? You say to them, "I'll be right there," right? You drop everything. But Jesus doesn't do that. He waits 2 days. Now, Jesus has his reasons for doing this, but Mary and Martha don't know what they are. And they find this to be very strange. But you need to know that this information is not in the Bible just randomly. John, who wrote the book that we're reading out of, he deliberately puts in this information. He wants us to know why Jesus does this, and he wants us to know that Jesus did wait 2 days. We'll come back to that in a minute. So Jesus waits 2 days. Look what happens next, verse 7. Finally, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Now, Judea is the region of Israel where Jerusalem and Bethany are. And at the beginning of this story, remember, Jesus is some distance away because the last time he'd been in Jerusalem, the religious leaders had tried to kill him. And so Jerusalem was no longer a safe place for Jesus to be. The disciples say to Jesus when he says this in verse 8, they objected and they said, "Rabbi, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus says, "Yes, I'm needed there, so I'm going. And I want you guys to go with me." Well, they don't want to go. They're afraid. And then eventually the disciple Thomas comes along. And look what he says to the other disciples in verse 16. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." Now, Thomas evidently had never taken any seminars from Dale Carnegie or Tony Robbins. You know, Thomas was not known for his optimism. Thomas was kind of a glass half empty kind of guy. But Jesus and all the disciples, they finally end up going to Bethany. The disciples are not thrilled about this, but they go. But by the time they get to Bethany, Lazarus has now been dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha are surrounded by family and friends, and they're all in very deep mourning. Martha goes out to meet Jesus, and she says this in verse 21, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a very poignant statement, isn't it? If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you know, the truth is, everybody has some if-onlys. You do. I do. If only I hadn't said those words. If only I would have gone to the doctor sooner. If only I would have made a wiser choice. If only I would have told them I love them. If only I would have said, please forgive me. Everybody has some if onlys. And sometimes it feels like our if onlys are the end of the story. But they're not. Because there's someone you can always bring your if onlys to. And his name is Jesus. And that's what Martha does. She brings her if only to Jesus. If only you would have been here, Lord. Look what happens next in verse 23. Jesus told her, Martha, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Now, I want to pause here just for a moment. Because on Easter, we can sometimes skim over statements like this. But I want you to consider what a staggering claim Jesus was making here. I mean, imagine for a moment that you have a loved one, you have a friend, you have someone really, really close to you who gets really, really sick. And because of that, you ask me, as your pastor, to come and pray for your loved one to be healed. But I don't make it until after your loved one has died. And then you hear that I've spent the last 2 days hanging out at Starbucks or something. You're upset and you say, Brian, I wish you would have come and prayed for my loved one. Maybe God would have healed them. And then imagine that I said back to you, well, don't be afraid. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? What would you do? You would call the men in the little white coats to come and take me away, right? Why? Because no human being in his or her right mind would ever say something like that. You know, no other religious leader, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Gandhi, no other religious leader ever said something like that. But Jesus said that. And he asked Martha what he still asks people today. He said, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Look what Martha says in verse 27. Yes, Lord, I've always believed you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God. Now, I want to pause again just for a moment, and I want to ask you what Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And it's a super important question to evaluate because there's a whole lot riding on this, a whole lot. You know, maybe you're here in person, maybe you're online, and you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I really believe that or not. I'm not sure if I believe Jesus really is the resurrection and the life. I totally get that. Totally get it. What I would say to you is, you need to find out. You need to investigate. What I would encourage you to do is keep coming back to the Vineyard. Keep investigating. Keep trying to find out. Because like I said, there's a whole lot, writing on answering that question. It really is worth searching. Story goes on, and Jesus finds Mary, Martha's sister, and the other mourners who are in very deep sorrow. Look at the text says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her, meaning Mary, weeping, and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within Jesus, and he was deeply troubled. Now the word weeping here is a little bit misleading because it sounds a lot like what people in our culture do when they go to a funeral or something and they cry a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, quiet, polite sniffling. You know, that sort of thing. But in Jerusalem, even today, there's a wall where people go and lament and cry out to God. You know what the name of that wall is? It's called the Wailing Wall. Why do you think it's called the Wailing Wall? Because that's how people in Israel weep. They wail. If you've ever been there, you can hear the cries of anguish. That is what's going on here. It's not quiet, polite sniffling. Well, Jesus sees this, and he sees the tomb, and he hears the people wailing. And then Jesus himself joins in. Look what happens in verse 35. Then Jesus wept. Jesus burst into tears. Jesus wails. And why does he do this? I mean, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be okay. Jesus knew how this was going to come out. I mean, why does grief come pouring out of Jesus? Well, you need to know, this is actually a very important part of this story, because it's a real revelation of the greatness of the heart of God. The heart of God. See, just a couple of days after this, Jesus is going to stand outside the city of Jerusalem, and he will end up weeping and wailing again. He will look at this city, and he will think about all the people who live there who are filled with worry and filled with doubt and filled with fear and filled with all kinds of sin. And Jesus will look at that city, and he'll think about how much he loves all those people and how he longs to embrace them and how they won't let him love them and embrace them. And so he'll weep. He'll wail. See, that is a picture of the heart of God for people who are confused or stubborn or discontent or just busy racing through life, heading for their graves, heading for their eternity, without ever saying yes to a God who would die to embrace them. That's the heart of God. And so Jesus weeps. He weeps for the world. He weeps for you. He weeps for me. And then finally, Jesus stops weeping. And he stands at the front of this tomb where Lazarus' body had been laid, just like the tombs in which millions of bodies have been laid before this moment. And Jesus says in verse 39, "Roll the stone aside." But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested and said, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." The King James Version, I love it, says, "By this time he stinketh." Now, if you know very much about Martha in the Bible, she's a very meticulous hostess. She wants everything to be just right. She was a very proper woman. And I can't prove this biblically, but I think maybe Martha's last name was Stewart. Martha Stewart, that may have been her last name. I'm not sure. So Martha knows that as soon as they break the seal on that tomb and they remove the stone, it's going to be very, very unpleasant for everybody. And so she says, "Jesus, let's not do that. Ixnay on the own stay, Jesus, okay?" Now, the four-day thing that John mentions here, it's a very important part of the story, and it's there for a reason. Because there was a very common Jewish belief during this time that said the soul of the departed would hang around the body for 3 days, hoping to get back in. But after 4 days, decomposition would have been so advanced that there'd be no hope of that happening. Then the soul would leave the body. That was their common belief. It wasn't true, but that was their belief. And also in that part of the world, there's a super warm climate, much like there is here, but there's no refrigeration. And so it was very common to bury people's bodies on the day that they died. And so the point that the Apostle John is making here is that Lazarus is really dead. There's no doubt about it. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus is not concerned. Look what he says in verse 40. Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Now I want you to put yourself there in that moment. They roll this stone aside. Imagine the drama. All the wailing stops. Everybody stops, whatever it is they're doing. They're all standing still. The stone is rolled away. Lazarus has not yet come out of the tomb. Nothing has moved inside the tomb. And then Jesus says in verse 43, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Can you imagine? You're outside and this body comes hopping out in all these bound grave clothes, and he's alive. He's been dead for 4 days. Can you imagine? There must have been an amazing party after this, right? And yet, interestingly enough, the Apostle John doesn't describe any kind of party. Why not? Well, we can't be sure. But one reason I think a party is not described here is because this is not the ultimate resurrection story. Remember, Lazarus is still mortal, even after he comes out of the tomb. Eventually, Lazarus is going to die and not come back. So this is not the ultimate resurrection story. The ultimate resurrection story is Jesus' story. What we celebrate today on Easter, that's the ultimate resurrection story. See, when Jesus came out of the tomb, that is when death was finished. Jesus was not subject to death anymore, unlike Lazarus. See, Jesus has mastered life, and in his resurrection, Jesus had mastered death. That is the ultimate resurrection story. The story of Jesus, that is what we are celebrating today on Easter. And you know what that means? You know what that means? That means that if you put your faith in Jesus, the grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. If you put your faith in Jesus, no matter what you face, even death, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Have you put your faith in Jesus? You know, I love this story that Pastor Ken Olmer, Bishop actually, Ken Olmer, told his congregation one time. Olmer used to pastor a great congregation in Los Angeles, mostly African-American congregation. And he tells a story about two men who were in an art museum, and they came upon a painting of a chess match. And one of the characters in the painting was a man, looked like a man, and the other character looked a lot like the devil. And in the painting, the devil has the man cornered in the chess match and is going to win the match. And the title of the painting is Checkmate. In other words, the devil is going to win. Well, Ken says that one of the two men who are looking at this painting, one of them was an international chess champion. And something about that painting intrigued him. And so he began to study it more closely. And as he studied it more and more, eventually he started nodding his head and shaking his hands, and he told his friend, he said, hey, we have to locate the guy who painted this painting. And we need to tell him that he either needs to change the painting or he needs to change the title. His friend said, why? What's wrong with the painting? The guy said, well, the title is Checkmate, but that's wrong. And so the painter either has to go back and change the painting or change the title, Because the king still has one more move. I want you to hear that last line again. The king still has one more move. Now, when Bishop Olmert told this to his congregation, a mostly African-American congregation, there was a lot of noise going on. There was a lot of amening, there was a lot of clapping, there was a lot of that. Now, I know, we're a vineyard church, and when you get really excited about something, you just kind of nod your head. All right, so you can go ahead and nod your head, all right? Act like you're excited about this, because just so you're not confused, this is super good news. You know why? Because no matter what's going on in your life, the king still has one more move. You know, a little boy named David is up against a huge giant named Goliath. And David is in deep trouble. And so he tries on Saul's armor. But Saul is a 52 long and David is a 36 short. He doesn't even know how to handle a grown-up sword. It looks like checkmate, but the king still has one more move. A man named Daniel gets thrown into a den of lions because he refuses to stop praying to his God. The lions are very hungry. Daniel is in there all night. At the first light of dawn, King Darius comes and calls down to Daniel. And Daniel tells him that the lions have been put on a low protein diet and he's fine. And the reason he's fine is because the king still has one more move. A man named Moses convinces a nation of oppressed slaves called the Israelites to run away from the most powerful person in the world, Pharaoh. Pharaoh takes out after him. The Israelites are standing on the shore of the Red Sea in front of them, the greatest army in the world behind them. And the people say to Moses, "Moses, what were you thinking?" And Moses says to God, "God, what were you thinking?" But see, the king still has one more move. Jesus was beaten, crucified, and buried for 3 days, but the king still had one more move. See, that is the hope of Easter. And I don't know what challenges you might face right now. I don't know. You know, maybe there's a lot of stress in your life right now. Maybe at work. Maybe your marriage is falling apart or already has. Maybe you have a loved one who's struggling with an addiction. Maybe you have financial problems and pressures. Or maybe you've done the wrong thing, or said the wrong thing, or made a huge mistake, and it feels like it's so big, it could never be redeemed. Or maybe not. Maybe things are going great in your life right now. Maybe there's no crisis in your life whatsoever. I hope that's the case for you. But I want you to know, there will be one day. There will be one day. The mortality rate in the world still hovers right around 100%. It does. And so whatever you face, whether it's today or tomorrow, the promise of Jesus to everyone who puts their faith and trust in him is this: there's hope, even when it feels like checkmate, because the king still has one more move. Would you pray with me? I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but Jesus does, and he cares. You matter to him. Your life matters to him. Your pain, your joys, every detail of your life matters to Jesus. That's why he went to a cross 2,000 years ago and died for your sins because he loves you. And he wants you to have a relationship with him and with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit, the triune God. So if you have some trials and tribulations in your life right now, would you just take them to Jesus? Cast your cares upon him, the Bible says, because he cares for you. You know, maybe you need to take a moment and thank Jesus that no matter what's going on, you have faith that he still has one more move in your life because he's the king. And I think there's some of you that are online, some of you that are in this room. The truth is, you need to rededicate your life to Jesus today. Maybe you came to know Jesus a long time ago, but maybe you haven't been walking very closely with him, or maybe very, very far away from him right now. You know, you can come back home today. Come back to Jesus today. There's nothing that Jesus would want more than for you to say, I want to come back to you, Jesus. I want to begin following you again. I want to rededicate my life today, April 4th, 2021. I'm coming back home. You know, some of you need to make a recommitment to his word. Begin reading his word again. You've gotten away from that. Some of you need to make a recommitment to coming back to regular church attendance. You've gotten away from that because of the pandemic and all that, which is certainly understandable. But now you need to get back. Whether it's online or in person, you need to be consistent, regular. And then there are some of you watching online, some of you sitting here. The truth is, you've never fully committed your life to King Jesus. You can do that right now. Like I said, the mortality rate hovers right around 100% all the time. You could make sure about your eternity today. If you make a decision that you want to follow Jesus, you want to place your life in his hands, you could do it right now. You say, how would I do that? It begins with a simple prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And if you want to surrender your life fully to Jesus, now this has to be the real deal. Nothing held back. I'm all in 100%. But if you want to do that, you can do it right now. You can settle your eternity. And then no matter what you face in this life, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to pray this prayer out loud, but you do have to mean it. So I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you want to do it, just pray it in your heart to God the best you know how. Just say something like, God, I know I've done wrong things in my life. I've said wrong words. I've thought wrong thoughts. I've done wrong deeds. I've sinned. And I know that I need forgiveness. I'm asking God that you would forgive me right now. Jesus, would you come inside of my body in the form of the Holy Spirit? And would you give me a new start? Would you wipe my heart clean? And I want to begin to follow you. I'm all in. You know, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're online or in person, and you really meant it, it happened. You may have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. You may not have. It doesn't matter. If you really meant it, it happened. We're all wired differently phenomenologically, and some of us are feelers, some of us are not, so that doesn't matter. But if you really meant it, that happened. And now you need to begin to follow Jesus, and that's where the vineyard comes in. Every weekend here, we teach you out of the Bible how to follow Jesus. You need to make church attendance a regular thing, not just if it works out, hit and miss. It needs to be a regular thing for you. You need to learn how to follow Jesus. So you need to make that commitment. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. You know, whenever someone decides they want to follow Jesus, Jesus makes you go public about that. We like to keep things in private. Oh, this is between me and God. Jesus doesn't let you do that. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 10, everyone who confesses me in front of other people, I will confess them before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me in front of other people, I will deny them before my Father who is in heaven. You don't want to be denied by Jesus. And so Jesus makes you go public. That's one of the things that water baptism is. It's one of the ways that we go public about our faith. But what I like to do whenever I give an opportunity for people to pray the prayer of surrender to Jesus like I just did, is I challenge people to go public right now. Let's get it out of the way. And so if you prayed that prayer just a moment ago for the very first time, and you're saying, I'm all in, I want to surrender to Jesus, I want to follow him, then I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to get up from where you're seated, and I want you to come down here to the front. And I want to say a special prayer for you. I want you to go public. Now, here's the thing. I know if you prayed that prayer, and now I'm asking you to come down here, I know that's a scary thing. Big room, lots of people, scary, scary thing. You're probably thinking, what if I'm the only one? You won't be. You won't be. But even if you are, I said, this has to be the real deal. And if you really meant it, then who cares who else knows? God loves it when you go public. He loves it. And then the second thing I want you to know is, in a moment, when I ask people to come down here to the front, the vast majority of us who don't do that, the reason we don't is because we've already done something like this. We already know Jesus. We're walking with him. And we love it when more people are added to his family. We're on your side. We're on your side. We love it when that happens. Okay? So if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you're courageous enough to go public with it, right now, I want you to stand up and I want you to walk down here to the front. Right now, come on. Come on, right now. Right now, come on. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Right now. Right now. Walk down here to the front. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Whether you're up on the top, come on. Come on. You prayed this prayer. You prayed this prayer and you're saying, I'm all in. I'm going to follow Jesus. Today's my day. April 4th, 2021, I'm all in. I prayed that prayer. I'm not holding back. This is the day that I cross the line of faith. This is the day that I know that I know that I know that I am going to follow Jesus Christ. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. There are many of you. Keep coming. Come on. Come on. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer, get up. Come down here to the front. Come down here to the front. Now, I know you may have prayed that prayer and you're like, you know, I want to go forward, but I'm a little afraid. If you're here with a friend, with a loved one, would you just grab their hand right now and say, would you go with me? Would you go with me for moral support? There's some of you like that right now. Grab their hand. Come down right now. Come on. Come on. I know there's some of you like that. Grab their hand. God bless you. God bless you. Grab their hand. Come down here to the front. Come on. Come on. Would you go with me? Be my moral support. I want to follow Jesus. This is my day. This is my day. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. Now, those of you that are online, come on. Keep coming while I'm talking. Keep coming while I'm talking. Keep coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. This is the Lord. He's drawing you. He's drawing you. He loves you. This is your day. God bless you. Keep coming. All right, no, those of you online, you need to go public as well. And the way that you do it is text. Get out your mobile device right now. Text the word commit to 77411 right now. Commit. That's how you go public. And we will get back with you right away. If you're online and you prayed that prayer, you need to go public right now. Jesus wants you to go public right now. People are still coming. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you just keep coming. You just keep coming. And then I'd like some of our ministry team members, small group leaders, maybe this is not the service that you're assigned to. We're going to need a lot of you. You start making your way up. Now, I want to say to you guys down here to the front, first of all, I am super proud of you. as your pastor, super proud that you would make this public declaration that you want to follow Jesus. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. You know why? Because it's not only going to affect the rest of your life here on this earth, it's going to affect your eternity. You are settling your eternity right now. And no matter what you have to face in your life in the years ahead, you don't have to be afraid, because the King still has one more move in your life. I want to say a prayer for each one of you. And then after I pray, I want our ministry team members, our small group leaders, I want them to make sure they get some information from you. And we're going to give you some stuff to take with you as well. So please, 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 do not leave here until someone has gotten your information, okay? All right, I'm going to pray with the rest of you seated. Would you agree with me in prayer for our friends up here at the front and you online as well? Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for all those online that said yes to Jesus today, all those that are here at the front. Lord, I pray for every one of them that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would allow them to know how happy and pleased you are, oh God, with their decision to begin to follow you. I pray that you'd bring the right people around them, Lord, to help grow them up in their new faith. And I pray that you would help them to stay on this narrow path, following Jesus, no matter what happens in their life. Bless their bodies, bless their souls, bless their spirits, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are around them, if you want to pray for them, that's fine, but make sure afterwards you get all the information. And again, those of you that are online, make sure if you prayed that prayer, text the word commit to 77411. Before we go, I want to pray a blessing on us. So everybody, please stand. Those of you that are online, I want to bless you as well. Receive this blessing from God. It's out of the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. I'm going to pray it for each and every one of you. Lord, would you bless all my friends that are online all over the world right now, those that are in this room, bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them, lift up your favor upon them, O God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say happy Easter to some people on your way out. Hope to see you next week. Brand new series. God bless you. We'll see you soon.